Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
Talkers Magazine calls Jim Blasingame one of the best talk show hosts in the industry.
Now remember, I do my best work when I'm being worshipped as a god.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
We're back. It's 34 after. Thanks for hanging around with me. If you just tuned in, welcome aboard. My website is www.jbsba.com, and you can do a lot of different things there if you're a small business owner or want to be. I think you'll like it. Thousands of archives and hundreds of articles, and all the members of our Brain Trust, over 400 strong now, and a lot of the things that they have to say, and a lot of in their books. You can also find their books and their other important products there that we certainly recommend to you. So check that out when you get a chance. And don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter. One of the people who's proudly and prominently presented on our website is our good friend Grace Marie Turner, who is one of the world's experts on medical privacy, medical policy, public policy, I should say. And she's the president of the Galen Institute. She's our good friend, Grace Marie Turner. Welcome back.
Good morning, Jim. Nice to be with you and your listeners.
It's good to have you back, as always. Grace Marie, I wanted you to join us today to talk about, to as I said earlier in the hour, as our professors used to say, to compare and contrast the Carey health plans, health policy initiatives that he's got planned, that he's talking about these days, and what Mr. Bush will do in the next 4 years. And I don't know anybody in the world who can do that better than you, and I'd like for you to talk to us a little bit about that.
Well, thank you, but as you and I mentioned just briefly before we went on, I think we both agree that David Wessel in the Wall Street Journal yesterday did a pretty good job in his column.
If you didn't see that, folks, it's on page 3. Page 3 of the journal yesterday, the title is called "Candidates in Healthcare: Same Ailments, Different Prescriptions." A good subtitle by David Wessel, who many of you remember has been on the show before. But yeah, I'm glad you reminded me, because I should have already said that. But he did a good job of comparing those, didn't he?
He did, and he says the point and the theme of his piece really underscores a theme of the presidential debate over health care that has really consumed the last decade, and that is that people say the same thing. You know, people want Americans to have affordable access to high-quality health care, making a priority of holding down costs and expanding coverage. You know, they say all these right things, but how do we get there? And President Bush has a very different vision of empowering consumers and competition and private markets. And Mr. Carey wants to spend a great deal of taxpayer money to expand government's role and particularly government programs. And it's a very different vision of getting from one place to another, but it sounds up front very much the same. I do believe that health care is going to be a big issue in the coming presidential election.
I think you're right about that.
People are scared about it.
David Wessel says that Carey isn't a fan of what he calls the ill-fated, and as we know, was an ill-fated Clinton health plan. But he also says this. He says that Carey embraces the familiar approach in which employers or the government pool the risks of covering a large number of employees and would expand coverage to more people. And this is the number Grace Marie was talking about. He proposes to spend taxpayers' money to the tune of $653 billion over 10 years.
And that's actually, a lot of people think, a conservative estimate. An earlier estimate was $1 trillion.
Mm-hmm.
But sort of freaked out the campaign, so Emory University professor Ken Thorpe went back and sort of cooked the numbers a little bit more and came up with a smaller number. But it's, you know, in government programs, you never get the smaller number.
So now here's the thing that's interesting to me, Grace Marie. Mr. Carey wants to pull the employers and the government to pool the risks of covering a large number of people. Then David Wessel says this about Mr. Bush's plan. He says it's one in which the individual, some armed with new tax credits, shop for health care like they do with other products or services. You want more, you pay more. And so
that's Mr. Bush.
Yes, that's Mr. Bush. Exactly. That's his plan. And so the thing that concerns me, Grace Marie, and we're going to talk about this in a minute a little bit more when we come back after these messages, is that obviously you can, when you look at this, Mr. Kerry is planning on the government playing a major role in our health care. And Mr. Bush's plan is for the government to pay less of a role in our health care, especially in the direct acquisition and delivery of health care. And so, to me, there's the crux of the issue. There's the essence of the issue. And we come back, we're going to talk about this some more with Grace Marie Turner, the president of the Galen Institute. So your decision is, do you want the government more involved in the delivery and the providing of health care or less? 20 till. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
And I watch them roll away again. Yeah. I'm sitting on.
We're back at 17 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the small business advocate, and visiting with our good friend Grace Marie Turner, the president of the Galen Institute. Grace Marie, tell us about the Galen Institute.
Galen Institute is a boutique think tank. We are a think tank like the big guys, the Heritage, Cato, Brookings Institution, AEI. But instead of focusing on a range of issues, we focus just on healthcare and particularly free market ideas, and do conferences and books and speeches and two electronic newsletters, websites, all the things you need to do to sort of convince the world that free markets are really the better way to go.
Right. Well, and they do a great job. They do a great job to folks, because don't forget they have an outstanding book that Grace Marie has edited. Grace Marie, and you can tell us a little bit about that if you want to.
Called Empowering Healthcare Consumers Through Tax Reform, and it and all of our other materials are available on our website at galen.org.
And if you download it, the book's free, right?
Absolutely. That's all there on the web.
Grace Marie, when we took the break, I was pointing out that Mr. Kerry, $653 billion over 10 years that he wants the government to contribute to our health care. Mr. Bush's number is $90 billion for the same period. So Grace Marie, where's the difference going to come from Mr. Bush?
Well, he doesn't have a health care plan that covers as many people. It's not as ambitious as Mr. Kerry's is.
Right.
But let me tell you just a couple of things about the Kerry plan that really concern me, but that sound good up front. One is that he would offer small businesses tax credits to cover 50% of the premiums that they pay. Sounds great. He also would offer any companies, and big companies particularly find this attractive, the option of having the government pick up 75% of the cost for any of their employees whose costs go above $50,000 a year. Sounds great. Wonderful. My high-cost employees... government is going to give me a lot of help with them, small business tax credits, 50%. But the strings attached are this. The government would tell small businesses what the coverage has to be. It would tell large businesses what the coverage has to be.
Less choice.
And in order. And it also says if you're going to take advantage of this $50,000 cap-off, that the government's going to tell you everything that has to be in that policy. And it's really going to wind up with pretty much instant price controls, because it can't pay one company and reimburse them if they got to the $50,000 by paying $40,000 for a heart surgery when another company only paid $25,000. They're going to start to say, here's the schedule of prices we will pay to get up to the $50,000. So you have government price controls from the get-go, and he already pretty much explicitly says with with prescription drugs that he wants to set the prices. Well, we know what happens when you do that,
right,
because we have seen it in Europe. You kill the research-based pharmaceutical industry.
Yeah, you do.
You don't get new drugs.
The United States doesn't have that kind of control, and we've got one of the best R&D environments in the world.
We're the medicine cabinet for the world.
Yeah.
And what he wants to do is not only put prescription drugs on, or price controls on prescription drugs, but on everything else. And
well,
it is really a, you know, he says he doesn't go for Clinton Care because he wants to do this incrementally, but the consequences of his particular prescription that involves new government programs and the way that government is going to reimburse companies involves a huge, huge effort by the government to tell people how the government, to have the government tell businesses and individuals what kind of care they can get and how much they're going to pay for it.
Well, you know, Grace Marie, to me, I don't think we have to look very far to see what this kind of a plan will look like 20 or 30 years from now. I mean, can't we look at the current government attempts to provide health care? I mean, look at Medicaid, look at Medicare, look at Social Security. Now, you know, those are many of those are the bedrock of the way we take care of our people. But still, look at the inefficient way that those things are being run and the problems that are out there and the way the government has to make decisions about fixing those problems. Do we want to add another example of that to our lives? I don't think so.
And what you wind up with is political decisions about
right.
what's going to be covered, not market decisions and consumer decisions.
Well, and the other thing is, Grace Marie, as our health care then would be tied to the efficiency of whether the government is efficient in running the system, and it would be tied to the health of the government's finances.
That's right.
For example, right now, mine and your Social Security is going to be affected before we draw it. It will ultimately be affected by the government having to make adjustments in that, right? I mean, you and I both have,
And even much more so in Medicaid,
right.
Because that really is a price-controlled system. At least Social Security, you know, they're going to give you a certain amount of money, and
right.
you can spend it on what they're not going to say.
Well, they are.
But
that's
food.
That's way down the road, though, Grace Marie. I mean, that could change,
as you said,
by government fiat. It could change, and it could depend upon whether the government has the money. Well, I don't want my health care depending on whether the government has the money.
Well, that's right. And we already have two
Grace
big
Marie,
government
would you,
programs.
Would you hold on to that thought. I'm going to let you pick up on that when we come back after these messages. It's almost 10 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Remember, the decision is, do you want the government more involved in your health care or less involved? That's the decision. I'm not going to make it for you, but that's the point that we all need to be thinking about. 10 till.
You've got the time. It's your chance to wake up and plan another brand new day.
Back at 7 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Let me remind you, coming up in the hour straight ahead, Barbara Kaufman is going to join us. We're going to talk about attitude. And then Rick Maurer is going to join us. We're going to talk about making a case for change, how to be able to affect change in your organization without creating a casualty list. Grace Marie Turner is our guest, ladies and gentlemen, our good friend and the president of the Galen Institute. I encourage you to check out her website if you want to find out more about, especially if you want to find out about free market approaches to healthcare and that whole public policy set of issues. And that website is Galen, GALEN.org. Grace Marie, are you guys still sending out a newsletter?
We do. People can send us a little note at Galen, G-A-L-E-N, at galen.org. We do actually two weekly newsletters to keep people posted on what's happening with healthcare decisions in Washington that may affect their life, and also with what's happening in the marketplace
right.
toward the movement toward consumer-driven healthcare, particularly the adoption of health savings accounts.
Absolutely. And by the way, Grace Marie, I now am the proud owner of a health savings account.
Oh, congratulations, yeah. Jim. That's wonderful.
Looking forward to the opportunity to be able to join an association health plan.
Yes, as well, so you get cheaper insurance.
Which we need to get, and I know you guys are talking about that. I interrupted you to take the break. Do you remember where you were?
I don't.
Well, let me tell you.
You and I considered the conversation over the break. I don't remember where we were.
Well, I think this is close. And this is the quote from David Wessel's article, folks. Mr. Bush believes that the key to his plan is to unleash the forces of competition by making individuals pay more so they shop more shrewdly by using the internet to post prescription drug prices. Now that's Mr. Bush. Mr. Kerry, let me just finish this one thought, Joe, make sure, Grace Marie. David goes on to say, Mr. Kerry isn't so sure that competition will suffice. Now, Grace Marie, to me, that's the essence of the difference these two men's opinion of health care.
Absolutely right. Absolutely right. But, you know, here it says, this reporter sometimes drives me crazy, that making individuals pay more. I mean, who's going to make them pay more?
Right.
People, if you have a competitive marketplace, people are going to pay what they feel is the right price for something. eHealth Insurance, which is an online brokerage, did a survey of all the people that have bought health savings accounts online this year, and they found that the average person paid $100 for their health insurance premium a month. $100. That's usually what people are paying for their co-payment for their health insurance at work. That's the full price of the premium. So people, if they shop around, if they decide, you know, just like with their automobile insurance, gee, I could get a cheaper policy if I'm willing to tolerate a deductible of $1,000 rather than $250.
Everybody knows that.
And the thing works with health insurance.
We ought to have the same attitude about our health insurance. But the reason we don't, Grace Marie, is because that's not how the paradigm was established in the 20th century. But it's how things need to be in the 21st century, especially the way people work and the way that they acquire their health care through their employers. In my opinion, the Kerry plan is 20th century thinking in the 21st century.
And that's really what we're talking about, that Kerry is trying to shore up a system that's really failing. Employment-based health insurance just isn't working for millions of people. That's why 43 million uninsured. They're moving between the jobs. They're starting new companies. They're working for small businesses that need to get themselves going. They can't afford to provide health insurance. We need a way for people to buy health insurance on their own, own it, like they own their car insurance or their homeowner's insurance, not have to have it attached to the workplace, and then let people have more choices in the private competitive market of the kind of insurance that suits them and their families best. And a lot of people are finding that with these new health savings accounts, the money they save on premiums, they can put tax-free into these new accounts. Anything that they don't spend in 1 year rolls over to the next year. So it really is a source of wealth accumulation to be able to protect yourself in the future.
And to pass on to your children.
You can do well. You can pass it on to a spouse, but you're going to need. We're all going to need it when we retire because, as we talked about before, Medicare and Medicaid are really going. There's just no way it can sustain those programs.
We certainly don't need to start another type of program like those two. Grace Marie, give us your website one more time.
www.galen.org, named after the second century Greek physician who also pushed the envelope on ideas.
Grace Marie, thank you for continuing his great tradition. We appreciate you very much.
Thanks so much, Jim. Pleasure to be with you.
Grace Marie Turner, ladies and gentlemen, a great American. Quick, I got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners. This is Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. This program is for you. I'll be right back.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.